Tonight, the first presidential debate, just a short time from now, the high-stakes showdown. President Trump and Joe Biden facing off in Cleveland. Because of the pandemic, no handshake, no opening statements. The first question will go to the president. His team tonight predicting it will be about his taxes and that bombshell new reporting from the New York Times that the president, in 11 out of 18 years looked at by the Times, paid no federal income taxes. And the year he was elected, the Times reporting he paid $750. The same the year after. In his own move tonight, Biden releasing his 2019 tax returns hours before taking the stage. And tonight, the president down in the polls hoping his pick for the Supreme Court will energize his base. And what Joe Biden predicts from the president tonight, how he plans to respond. The alarming new report about the coronavirus and children. New York City's COVID positivity rate the highest since June, threatening to close schools again just as students begin returning to the classroom. The new numbers tonight on COVID cases in children in this country, and a new report claiming top officials at the White House pressured the CDC to downplay the risk of sending children back to school. We have news tonight of the Breonna Taylor case, a judge ordering grand jury transcripts in that case be filed with the court, possibly making them public as early as tomorrow. A juror accusing the Kentucky Attorney General of misleading the public about their deliberations. The AG now saying he'll release the transcripts if that's what the judge tells him to do. The attack on police, newly released surveillance tonight showing two LAPD officers attacked inside a police station. What the video shows and news tonight on the suspect. And the NFL now facing its first COVID-19 outbreak. Two teams shutting down their facilities.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on this Tuesday night, and it is a big night in the race for the White House. The first presidential debate, the high-stakes showdown with 35 days now until the election and with early voting underway in parts of this country. We turn to the coronavirus pandemic here in the U.S., the virus now taking more than a million lives worldwide and one-fifth of those lives right here in the U.S. More than 205,000 American lives lost now. A new study tonight finding cases in children rising from 2% to 10% since the spring. And as New York City children go back to school for the first time, the alarming rise in cases right here in this city threatening to close the schools again. ABC's Eva Pilgrim tonight from New York.
Just as New York City elementary students went back to the classroom, schools already at risk of closing. The city reporting its COVID positivity rate ticking up above 3% for the first time since June. New clusters traced to 9 zip codes.
If the schools are not safe, I'm not going to allow them to operate. Period.
The city ready to close schools as early as next week if that number stays above 3%. The potential setback coming as COVID cases in children have risen from 2% to 10% nationwide over the last 5 months. One of those cases, 12-year-old Elizabeth McNew from Atlantic Beach, Florida, who passed away after a 10-day battle with the virus.
Elizabeth came to me and said, "I'm not breathing right, Mommy."
Tonight, a new report from the New York Times says over the summer, White House officials tried to pressure the CDC to play down the risks of sending children back to school. Olivia Troy, a former aide to the vice president, sat in on task force meetings.
It was people within the White House specifically tasking more junior level staff to try to find alternate data. Data that fit the narrative that they wanted, which was it only affects, you know, people above the age of 75 and it doesn't affect younger school children. It was all part of the narrative of we need to open up these schools.
And the White House pushing back on that New York Times reporting, saying that the task force brings together experts with different expertise and views. David.
Eva Pilgrim with us tonight. Thank you, Eva. And we're going to turn next here tonight to a major development in the Breonna Taylor case. A judge now ordering grand jury transcripts be filed with the court. The judge there possibly making them public as early as tomorrow. A juror accusing the Kentucky Attorney General of misleading the public about their deliberations. The AG tonight now saying he'll release the transcripts if that's what the judge tells him to do. ABC's Alex Perez from Louisville again tonight.
Tonight, as demands intensify to find out why a grand jury did not charge officers in the death of Breonna Taylor, transcripts could be made public tomorrow. A judge ordering Monday the record of the secret deliberations be filed with the court. The judge could then release them. The state's attorney general, Daniel Cameron, previously refusing to release them, overnight reluctantly reversing, saying the grand jury is meant to be a secretive body, but it is apparent that the public interest in this case isn't going to allow that to happen, adding his team presented a thorough and complete case. The one officer that was charged for firing his weapon and endangering neighbors, not for Taylor's death, pleading not guilty. This as an anonymous member of the grand jury coming forward in a rare move, filing a separate motion asking the records be unsealed, that juror's attorney saying Cameron misrepresented deliberations.
My client wants to make sure the truth gets out. My client wants to make sure that anything that happened in there becomes something of public knowledge to the extent it's legally allowed to.
And David, nearly a week after that grand jury decision and the protests that followed, several streets here remain closed. The many now watching closely to learn when exactly those transcripts could be released to the public. David?
All right, Alex Perez tonight. Thank you, Alex. Now to the state of emergency in Northern California at this hour. At least three dead now in one of 27 major wildfires. And just remarkable images coming in tonight of a sheriff's lieutenant helping a homeowner with a hose in that family's yard as the fire moves in. More than 70,000 people forced from their homes tonight, hundreds of structures already lost. The glass fire racing through wine country, and ABC's Kana Whitworth from California again tonight.
Tonight, new video showing the explosive conditions on the front lines of the glass fire. A sheriff's lieutenant using a garden hose to stop this home from catching fire. Flames now racing through areas that haven't burned in more than a century.
This is the kind of terrain they're dealing with, and what they're doing right now is they're saying they're blackening the line. They're creating a defensive space between the fire and a home that's just about 25 yards this way.
The fire forcing the entire town of Calistoga to evacuate overnight.
We moved up here about 4 years ago. And since 17, every year, horrible fires.
At least 80 homes destroyed in Napa and Sonoma counties. Iconic wine country destinations not spared either. Multiple wineries damaged or destroyed. North of here, in Shasta County, the Zog Fire chewing through more than 60 square miles, claiming at least three lives.
You can see behind me these dozers rolling in to help save this vineyard and these homes that are now surrounded by fire. Also, right up here, you can see the helicopter dropping hundreds of gallons of water on this fire. This is an incredible resource for these firefighters that have been on the ground for months. This is the worst fire season that we've seen in a century, David. And in Southern California, we haven't even seen the worst fire weather yet. David?
All right, Kana Whitworth with a dramatic scene coming in from California. Kana, thank you. We turn next here this evening to our month-long series of reports, Turning Point. Tonight here, essential workers on the front lines from the start, and the exhaustion, the obstacles, their own financial crisis, bravely showing up to work, even if it means possible exposure to the virus, often without protections to keep them safe. And a disproportionate number of those workers are people of color. Here's ABC's Adrian Banker tonight.
Tonight, despite 32 states reporting an increase in coronavirus cases, America's essential workers haven't stopped working around the clock.
This is my daily normal.
Hoping they don't get sick. From grocery store workers like Jeffrey Reed in Maryland.
The hazard is still here. It's still out there. Every day you see that, you know, people are dying.
To frontline healthcare worker Paolo Hudson Solarzano in Tennessee.
It's a scary thing to know. Is today going to be the day that I get COVID?
And California farmer Cleo Tilde.
Cada día que venimos.
In April, she and her crew felt fearful every day. Today, nearly 6 months later, she told us they've just grown accustomed to the anxiety and are working harder than ever. In a recent survey, 58% of U.S. workers feel burnout from work. More than one in three of those workers point to circumstances tied to COVID-19 as the reason behind their stress and exhaustion.
The three biggest drivers were workload, work-life balance, and lack of communication and support. The level of burnout is highly problematic.
For the essential workforce, where people of color made up 43% of employees at the start of the pandemic, they also may have faced and still may face increased exposure to COVID-19 without adequate PPE, working without hazard pay, or being underpaid.
People of color have really paid
played a crucial role in keeping the economy going.
Experts say that as economic recovery has begun, some communities have been left behind.
This restaurant's closed. That restaurant's closed.
When New York City shut down, Jefferson Lee's family's butcher shop in Chinatown closed for months in a neighborhood already on edge due to the stigma of the pandemic. Lee used social media to attract new customers who lived elsewhere, advertising their low prices. But he says for every business, it's a fight for survival.
Each one of these is just kind of like, you know, someone's American dream, someone's struggle, someone's future falling through the cracks.
And today we've learned that talks have resumed between Democrats and the White House on a workforce stimulus package. That, of course, would include essential workers, but they're still far from a deal. David?
And you'll be tracking it, Adrian. Really important reporting, and we thank you. Our Turning Point series continues later this week on Nightline.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Tonight, there is newly released surveillance showing the attack on two LAPD officers inside a police station. The suspect confronting one officer, repeatedly hitting him with his own gun while he's down. That suspect then firing at another officer. No one was hit. Police rushing to help. The suspect was arrested and tonight is charged with the attempted murder of both officers. Tonight, the NFL is facing its first coronavirus outbreak. The Titans shutting down their facilities, suspending in-person workouts after three players and five staff members tested positive. Of course, the Titans played the Vikings last Sunday. Minnesota now closing its facility as a precaution. Their players awaiting their test results. Finally tonight here, America Strong. We cannot forget our frontline workers. Tonight, the healthcare workers on the front lines since the start. And the communities across this country now saying thank you. In San Antonio, nurse Petra Sedbury, a respiratory therapist, pulling up to her home after another 12-hour shift. Her hand to her face. Her town coming together to honor their frontline workers, and Petra was surprised with a sign in her front yard saying thank you. There were so many gifts with that sign, and her family captured the moment.
I don't deserve all this.
Yes, you do.
I don't deserve all of this.
Yes, you do.
A local sign company, SA Happy Card Yards, making the sign. San Antonio women-owned businesses and artists coming together, donating their own products. Fudge, candles, pet toys, wine, cookies, all for Petra.
Hi, David.
Stephanie Frost, who organized it all, telling us why she did it.
If it wasn't for them, you know, our loved ones wouldn't have anybody beside their bed. They wouldn't have somebody to take care of them.
Tonight here, the thank you from an entire community to their frontline workers. Oh, well, we celebrate Petra, too, and all of our frontline workers. I'm David Muir.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.